The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Andy McQuitty discusses the impact of the journals he wrote to his children.
I wanted to disciple them. I wanted to be the father of Proverbs 1, and I wanted my instruction to be there for their growth in Christ, for their spiritual discipline. And the discipline of doing that for discipling my children actually turned out to be God's biggest discipleship program in my own life.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
Hey,
and we are delighted that you are here. Now, many of you have children, grandchildren. What do you tell them? What are the things that you want to impart on those generations? Well, we're going to be talking about that today with Andy McQuitty, who's a longtime friend of the ministry. And he has a book out that is just that. It's what he has been telling his children, and now they're grown and seeing the fruit. And the book's called Your Best Life Later, because it's the things that you sow young and you reap later in life. Andy, great to have you on Life Today.
Thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So this is fascinating to me because, you know, I've got four children. They're in their 20s now, and you're starting to see, and you're like, did I do this right? You know, you try to put these things in their lives. Why was it important to you? Because you planned way ahead. I got to commend you for that. To sow these things into your children.
Well, it's a mystery to me, Randy, how I ever started and finished this project, because you just paid me a great compliment that I planned way ahead. You know, I was 30-year-old pastor in my pastorate at Irving Bible Church, just beginning that pastorate, and I had a baby girl who was then 5 years old, and then a little sister to Julie, Elizabeth, was born right about that time, right when I was coming into my pastorate. And I was very concerned in those days with my growing family to do what the Bible says. As a father, I'm supposed to impart instruction. In fact, in the intro to the book, I quote Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, which says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." That verse captured me as a young father because I began to ask myself the question, what if someday my daughters say to the Lord, "I wanted to follow my father's instruction, but where was it?" Mm. You know, what is this teaching of the mother? What is this instruction of the father that God tells our children to follow? What is it if we don't actually intentionally and strategically provide it?
Yeah. Just going to say, did you ever intend this to be a book, or was it just a gift
Sheila,
for your children?
I never intended. In fact, this is the biggest surprise in the world that this book is sitting here. I wrote these journals to the children. Started Julie's when she was five, and then I had four more, and I started all of theirs when they were infants, and wrote for 18 years for each one of them, and gave them their journal when we dropped them off in their freshman dorm room at university.
Wow.
I gave out five journals, you know, when each child reached the age of 18 in their college dorm room, and then promptly forgot about it. I mean, I gave it to them, I had explained to them why I wrote it for them and so forth, but then I forgot about it. And went through 31 years as senior pastor at IBC, where I started out writing these journals, and retired just 2.5 years ago. And the staff was very kind at IBC. They threw a big celebration banquet, you know, for me. And my assistant, Donna O'Reilly, who had been helping me for years and years, she, unbeknownst to me, she reached out to all five of my children, and they were all over the world. I mean, one was in China. She couldn't come, but she came via, you know, streaming. And she asked them all, we want you to come back to your dad's celebration banquet. We want you to bring the journals that he wrote for you and read from those journals. And you're going to be the main speakers at your dad's banquet. I didn't know any of this stuff. And you might wonder, well, how did Donna even know about these journals? Well, she was with me when I was sending them with the kids to their freshman dorm room, and I asked her to make a copy. I said, Donna, I'm going to give this to my child in a freshman dorm. I want a copy, right? So she knew about that. She made the copies. And so she brought them all in. At the banquet, they all got up there and they read from the journals. And the crowd was just, I mean, they were under the table. Mm-hmm. And for weeks afterwards, my friends were saying, you got to publish that. So that's how it came to be. I never wrote it for publication. In fact, after I gave the last journal to my youngest son, Jeff, almost 10 years ago now, I forgot all about them. And so that's why I'm amazed that it's sitting here in front of us. I think it's a God thing, actually.
The interesting thing about it is, you know, I'm reading through this, and yes, it's from a father to his children, but these are things that apply to us still as adults every day. For example, and this is great advice, I think girls are a little more sensitive to this, but it's true for everyone, but it's best not to have your self-worth, your self-esteem rooted in the opinion of others. Yeah. Why was that? That's like the first thing in your book.
And you great discernment to put your finger on one of the main reasons why I think parents should do this for their children, whether in this form or another form, is to build their self-esteem on biblical values, mm-hmm. and to build up their character and to praise them for godly character traits, because Lord knows there are all other sources around, right, that are trying to influence their character formation. And if our children build their self-esteem on the affirmation of the world, then they're going to be headed off, you know, 180 degrees from where God wants them to go.
I even wondered as I read through the book if this was really not only a gift to your children and a gift to those who read it, but a gift to you. Because I wondered if, as you read through these over the years, you saw the pattern of God in your own life.
Yeah, yeah. Another very discerning observation, Sheila. I wrote these journals to my individual children. And at one point, you know, I was writing all five of them simultaneously for about a 12-year period of time. The whole thing was 25 years to complete it. But, you know, I wrote them because I wanted to disciple them. I wanted to be the father of Proverbs 1, and I wanted my instruction to be there for their growth in Christ, for their spiritual discipline. But as you point out, the discipline of doing that for discipling my children actually turned out to be God's biggest discipleship program in my own life. Uh-huh. That was maybe a guilt-inducing motivation for me to actually get into the Word,
yeah,
and prayer myself, because I got to write something in here. What do I write? Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be something that God does in me. Yeah. So this project, really, it was a discipleship project for my children, but it was the greatest discipleship program for me.
Wow. I love that.
You know, I'm interested because now, I mean, we're older. Our kids are out of the house, and maybe somebody's missed that chance to journal.
Yeah. Mm.
What do you say to those of us who have the adult children and now the grandchildren? Because surely there's still that role of imparting God's wisdom in their life.
Absolutely, absolutely. With respect to your grandchildren, it's not too late to journal to them. You can write to them. Mm-hmm. I've got four grandchildren myself, and I don't write journals for them like this, but I do write to them. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for your grandchildren. But also, this book, so let me tell you how we kind of organized this book and put it into print. We wanted to make it a tool in the life of a young adult that this book would be given to. There's two demographic groups that I wrote this for. One is young adults who are starting out. Like, I gave these to my 18-year-old children, right? That's the target audience that I wrote to. And so that's one of the target audiences that we want this book to minister to. And we organized it into like daily devotionals with a title and a PS at the end, an aphorism or a scripture verse that kind of sums up modern day, you know, what I was saying in that thing. But there's 150 devotionals in here. And for that young adult demographic, we're hoping that that will develop the discipline of daily Bible study. You know, Proverbs 3 says, blessed are those who come daily to my gates and stand at my door and listen to me. And it, you know, we kind of had a little ulterior motive here in getting young adults this kind of wisdom for life from the Word of God in daily doses that will set a pattern for the rest of their life. And then for the other demographic, which are parents and grandparents, who have, you know, maybe you're a parent and your child is about to go off to college. Maybe you should get this book as a gift to them. Read it first so that you can endorse it to them and say, you know, this is, you know, for you. But it's also for those parents as a paradigm of how they might write journals like this to their younger children or to their children who have given them grandchildren, how they can do it for them. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have another follow-up project that we're going to create a journal template for parents to write according to this.
That's a great idea. Yeah. One of the impressions I got when I was came toward the end of the book was it seemed to me like it was a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think when kids go off to college, that's when so many of them kind of tend to fall away. But it's like this bright, shining light that keeps pointing towards Christ. But you're very honest and vulnerable in your journals. And I found that really encouraging. And you talk about handling negativity. And you talk about disappointment. And some is even disappointment with believers. Why is that so important, you think?
I think it's important, Sheila, because it's the way life is. It's the truth. And if our children are going to really invest themselves in the wisdom that we're imparting to them, they have to believe that we're being transparent with them. We're not blowing smoke. We're not sugarcoating it. But we're also not in despair either. We are telling it like it is, but then putting it under the lamp, the lighthouse of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So that they could see. And that's why, you know, you mentioned that I'm very honest in the book. And this was actually one of the first questions I had to ask myself in publishing this is, am I willing to be embarrassed before the world?
Yeah.
Because I'm very open about times when I got angry or messed up or went off the tracks or whatever. And you know, there's just a lot of honesty in this book. It's absolutely essential that you have that.
Yeah.
And if there are any parents who are thinking about maybe doing something like this, your transparency and your honesty is what will motivate your children to listen to the answers that you bring from Scripture. Mm. And if you don't have the former, you're not going to have the latter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was an essential, but sometimes embarrassing element of putting this out there. But I would not change a thing about that because I think it's what actually animates this and makes it come alive for our children.
You also wrote this much of this through a very serious cancer battle. Was there ever a time where you thought you may not be able to finish a journal?
Oh, yeah. Well, you were with me back in 2009 and through 12 when I was going through stage 4 cancer, surgeries, chemotherapy. Those were very dicey days in my family, in my ministry, and everything because I was stage 4. They gave me an 8% chance of survival.
Wow.
And so I actually man, I got my affairs in order. I have a wonderful funeral service planned for myself. It's a file in my thing, and I know who's speaking and the songs and everything, and it's wonderful. Had the remarriage talk with my wife, all that stuff. Oh, wow. And yeah, I did, you know, I'm very cognizant of the fact that I may not finish these journals for my children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Lord was very gracious and brought me through. He has a purpose. And I wrote a book about that experience, which you know about, which I actually talked about on this set, Notes from the Valley.
Right. But I'm curious what came through to your children during that time.
I think what came through to them was the validity and the reality of a living faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. My son, I'll just give you an example. Jonathan, he's my my fourth child. I get them confused sometimes. He was studying out at Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD, out in South Carolina, and when I was diagnosed with the cancer. And it really shook him up. He wanted to come back home closer to me, to be with me through that battle. So he transferred to OU, and he was closer to home. But, you know, his response to that, you know, was kind of like an example of all of their responses. They all, I think, watched very carefully. Mm. You know, how's Dad going to handle this? And what's he going to say? And, you know, especially with regard to the church. We have a large church. You know, are we going to be open and honest with this journey or whatever? Or are we going to try to? And so I think they were very watchful. And it was for them as well as for all of my other family and friends, as well as our congregation. It was really an opportunity for me to stand on the platform of faith and say, God's promises prevail. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm good.
And I think that's important, because it's one thing to tell your children, your grandchildren something. It's another thing to live it out.
Yeah.
I have one final question.
Yeah.
I want to take you back to that night with the banquet that was all a wonderful surprise. What is your most lingering memory of that evening? Mm.
I would say, and at the risk of making four of my five children jealous, I don't want to, because all of you, if you're listening, all of you were stellar in what you read, and everybody just praised all of you up and down. And they're all of their CVs and their updated careers and families are in the back of the book, as well as the comments they made. But it was the comments of my son Jonathan that stuck with me the most. And the reason for that is that he brought the journal that I had written to him and read from it. But then he pulled out a journal that he has started for his son, my namesake, Eric Andrew McQuitty, who's now 3 years old in West Palm Beach, Florida. And Jonathan read some entries to his son, my grandson, from the journal that he's writing for him. Wow. And that just smote me. It put me under the table. I mean, it shredded me, as the Irish would say. because I saw in that moment the generational reach of this kind of a project, that this is legacy building for a family, not just for an individual.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love that you're building legacy, and I would encourage anybody watching to be very mindful of that. And Sheila, you know, there's another legacy that we have around here at Life Outreach that has been reaching people for generations, and that is through the Mission Feeding Outreach. Take a look at this, and then Sheila and I will tell you how you can be a part of leaving that lasting legacy in the name of Christ.
The devastating effects of a food crisis has driven these mothers to leave their villages to seek help. Their children are starting to show signs of the silent killer known as malnutrition.
In malnutrition clinics like this all over Angola, there are children that are literally fighting a fight of life and death. These areas in southern Africa have the worst child mortality rates under five of anywhere in the world. The children you see around me in this clinic are literally children that are being ravaged by malnutrition simply because they don't have enough food. And that is the reality for a child like this little Josefina. Josefina is a 2-year-old child suffering from severe malnutrition, the silent killer that is literally ravaging her little 2-year-old body to the point where she can't even raise herself and hold her own body weight. Her mother, Marta, literally is left with nothing else to do. She's done everything she can do to save her child's life. And now all she can do is watch, wait, and pray. Pray that her child will survive. My prayer is that we haven't reached this child too late. My prayer is that the therapeutic food that we're bringing this child will save its life and bring her back to full strength. But my other prayer is that we're able to reach the many mothers in villages all over this area, just like Marta, mothers who are so desperate for food, mothers who don't have the food to feed their children, that we can reach them before their children end up in malnutrition clinics, fighting that fight of life and death.
You know, I've tried to put myself in the shoes of a mom like Marta. I remember the first time I was in Angola and went to one of the malnutrition clinics, and I remember seeing these little ones who were just struggling for the next breath and wondering, how could things possibly get any worse than this? But what I want to tell you today is they have got worse. Things, Angola is now facing the worst situation of drought and loss of all agriculture in 40 years. It was devastating when I was there a few years ago, and now it's worse. And I think about that mom, Marta. She loves her little Josefina as much as I love my son, Christian. And I remember the joy it used to be when Christian was a little boy and he would clean his whole plate and he loved it. And I would just, there was just something about it just felt so right. But these moms, they're doing everything they possibly can. I have walked with them for a long distance where they try and dig through the earth to try and find anything that would potentially fill their little ones' bellies and come up empty-handed. But here's what's amazing to me. The number of these women who still faithfully look to Jesus and pray and ask God to send help. And the great news is you and I, Brandy, we get to be the answer to that prayer.
We do. And you know, Sheila, we've been there before during difficult times. These are cycles that happen in nature and crops and things like that. It's no fault of their own. They work very hard. But it's difficult in these third world countries because crops fail or storms come or drought comes. And when those situations occur, you have stood by us, our audience, our friends, our partners, and going in and saying, you know what, we're not going to let death win. We're going to intervene for a time so that we stave off the starvation and the malnutrition. And Sheila, we've seen it. We've seen it when we go into these villages where mission feeding is occurring, and you see it's a radical difference. The children are learning. They're preparing for their future. They're working a lot of times. They're happy. They're smiling. They're singing. But then we see the places where it's hit them hard, and they need mission feeding. They need someone like you and I to come in just for a time period to get them through a rough season. I mean, sometimes, you know, if I miss a meal a day, I think, you know, I'm feeling faint. When you're talking about a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, it quickly becomes a problem. But just as quickly as the problems arise, the solution can arrive for them. And the solution is you and I. Your gift today of $30 will help feed 3 children for 3 whole months. And for a lot of them, that's all they need to get them through a difficult period. Your gift of $50 will help feed 5 children for 3 months. Some of you can give $1,000 and feed 100 children for 3 months. I'm encouraging you, whatever you can do, just reach out, partner with us. Let's be that answer to that mother's prayer. She's asking, Lord, help us. And I think God's saying, my people are there. Will you be that person? Go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can, and know that when you partner with us in Mission Feeding, you will be saving lives.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition, and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you The Chosen, 40 Days with Jesus. From the creators of the widely popular television drama, The Chosen, this devotional invites you to discover Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him best. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Amazing Grace Sheet Music Framed Wall Art. This timeless and well-beloved hymn can be displayed as a reminder of God's grace to you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you so much. The lines are busy. Keep calling. This isn't our obligation. It is our joy to do this.
Yep. Andy, man, we appreciate you. What do you want people just to walk away with today?
My heart for this book is to provide parents an opportunity to take back their God-given role of raising their sons and daughters to know Christ and to walk in His ways, which are ways of prosperity and joy and flourishing and fruitfulness.
Yeah.
That's what we want. That's what we want from this project, both from the parents who read it, to the young adults who receive it, and the generations after that, that we can start to take back our biblical role in raising our children intentionally to be godly men and women.
Right. And I appreciate you taking the time to share it with our audience today. And we appreciate you watching. That's what we're here for, to encourage you. And we'll be here again every day, Monday through Friday. Come back and see us on Life Today.
God, listen, either take me home or send an angel to minister to me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.